Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 24th on the West Coast, now September 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world as well, and hope you find tonight's show very interesting. Tonight, we have with us our resident science advisor, as we do every Friday night, and he is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and our good friend, my co-host on Friday nights, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's good to be with you as usual.
Well, I usually make you wait a little bit because I'm reading off messages and trying to recap some of the more salient stories of the day. If you want to talk about the fact that the UN is trying to control the United States as if it owns the country, or you want to talk about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his statements about 9/11 being an inside job, to put it bluntly, we can. But there's something much more exciting going on than that, and that is the fact that Lindsay Lohan flunked a drug test and she's back in jail. That makes major news. Does it surprise
How
you at
about
all?
That?
Oh,
I'm truly intrigued, and I would like to know every little detail of that wonderful story.
Yeah, this is like getting nonstop airplay on CNN, Headline News, which is HNN, MSNBC, Fox, and then the three alphabet agency networks, and Even the foreign language networks are talking about it. I asked someone earlier this evening, do you think people really want to know about Lindsay Lohan and her drug problems and the fact that she had to go back to jail because she violated probation? And the person said, well, they must want to know because they keep showing it. And I proceeded to say, do you think that maybe the fact that they're broadcasting this saga over and over and over now for months at a time, that it might just be propaganda? And I was asked the question, what is propaganda? So there you have it.
I think the dumbing down has been successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Jim, I came on the air this past Monday night with a breaking news story, but it's not one that you will hear for some time on the mainstream media, but that could change. I was informed, and there are multiple sources of this information, that one can view what's happening in the night skies with the assistance of night vision goggles or night vision binoculars. Even Drew Raines on the show last night mentioned several UV filters that can be put on a camera or on a telescope, and you can see things that are going on in space. Now, this is a touchy topic for many because, number one, powers that be don't want anyone knowing that this is going on, but there have been a few people who have been able to capture this on film using the night vision goggles and or UV filters to monitor what's actually happening. On some past shows, I've discussed, and you and I have discussed, the fact that we are not alone in the universe, that there are many, many, many planets which are inhabited, and that are quite technologically advanced to the point where traveling to a planet like Earth is no big feat for them. But they have technology that they use primarily for warfare or for dominating, let's say, lesser societies in other parts of the universe. This is an age-old story that has been going on since the beginning of time. And currently, what we find ourselves in on planet Earth, you think things are crazy in Washington or Wall Street, or in the Gulf of Mexico, or in the Middle East, you should see what's going on in space. Any comments about that, first of all?
Well, you've certainly got my interest up. This is something I'm not informed about, so pray continue.
that was a short comment. Okay. Well, I'm going to regress for a moment. Back in 2007, 2008, when I was doing my research and publishing some articles about a few political figures, I had an intuitive hunch that our usurper in chief may have been from Indonesia, at least spent quite a bit of time in Indonesia. And I'm not referring to what was written in newspaper articles or said in the media or in books, because pretty much the whole story falls apart when you look at who the people are, alleged parents and grandparents and all of that. And that hunch was so strong. And I had mentioned to Don Harkins right from the get-go. He had asked me where I thought he was born, and I said he wasn't born in Hawaii, and he wasn't born in Kenya. Now, why would someone keep promoting two stories when only one of them would be true? Or neither of them would be true. It's not possible that both could be true. And we've heard the official accounts of his origins, stating that he was born in Hawaii. We've heard other accounts that relatives in Kenya, well, first of all, that presupposes that the first story is partially true, okay, and that he was born in Kenya. So, and these relatives witnessed this event, okay? First of all, we don't know that they're relatives. It's a claim. You would think the relatives would be in Hawaii, where they claim he was born. This is what allegedly qualified him to be president of the United States. Now, intuition told me Indonesia, and this is before I had read anything about him going to Indonesia or his family being in Indonesia, the Lolo Satoro family. And in fact, that they put out one photograph of that family, and it was a compilation, showed that it was also a fraudulent photo, and likely, just like the Hawaii and the Kenya stories, all of which the accompanying photos were compiled, meaning that they were fraudulent. They were added, subjects were added to the photo in a computer, and until they got what looked at least to some people like a real event. So, being convinced that neither story was true, and pretty much documenting why it wasn't true, and then how the photographs were faked, which debunks the stories themselves, Indonesia stuck out like a sore thumb. So I went on Google Earth and I did some research. And I came up with some photographs of some things that were actually obscured on Google Earth. Many people who are listening who have gone to Google Earth and notice, may have noticed that when they go to a particular place, it's cloud covered. And you ask yourself, why would they put just a representation of cloud cover there? As if, well, the day they took those photographs, there was cloud cover, so therefore, that's what that particular part of the world looks like. Now, suppose you were looking for an address, which is something you can do on Google Earth. You can pinpoint an address pretty much anywhere in the United States, and you can actually zoom in on a house, or zoom in on a school building, or some corporate headquarters, or something like that, just by typing in the address. Now, you don't have that ability in certain parts of Papua New Guinea to zoom in and see an address, especially when it's cloud covered. Can't see the detail. But what I found was interesting is just entering the words Papua New Guinea and zooming in, it pulled the clouds into the complete picture. Okay, it filled up the screen with the image of clouds. And what I did, looking at that image, is which way do I go with this? Do I pull the screen to the left or to the right, up or down? And something told me, go view what's to the west. So I grabbed, I took the cursor, my computer screen cursor, and I grabbed the edge of the screen and I pulled it all the way to the right till I covered one screen of the picture. And in the middle of the picture that was there, when I zoomed in, was a very interesting artifact carved into a mountaintop. Now, this may have been added graphically. Somebody may have put this thing in there, but it was sort of a Mount Rushmore of the usurper in chief. Just his profile. And it was in color on top of it, which I found really interesting. To the northeast of that and to the southwest of that little monument, we'll call it, were two blackened out gorges. At first, one would think maybe those are rocks, but why would they all be black? Or maybe it's a body of water. Why would the water be black? Water would normally show up sort of bluish, like the oceans do. Even the Gulf of Mexico, with the disaster that's going on there, shows up blue on Google Earth. Well, they can say, well, those are old photos. What I was able to do was capture the picture and then zoom in on the blackened out area, lighten it, and what I found at the bottom of the gorge was a hexagonal launch pad with a red conical craft on it. Kind of interesting. After seeing that anomaly, I was able to spot this in other places. In fact, I showed these images to other people, and they saw the same things. And these were identified as alien craft. And I don't mean sneaking over the border craft. I mean from other realms, from other parts of space. Maybe even outside the galaxy. But for argument's sake, let's say they were from in the galaxy. And I began researching some ufology accounts, and sure enough, there were people that had seen such crafts flying through the skies and through space at various times, either via a telescope or seeing it with the naked eye, or maybe binoculars or some sort of visual aid, we'll say. Nonetheless, and some of these were even captured on film by people. Well, in trying to find out where the craft was from, and it's difficult to find out such a thing, but it seems to belong to a group of people that like to attack those who investigate it. And we have had a friend on the show several times, General Jeremiah, who is with the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon. As he stated, in fact, you were on the show with me the first time he called, were you not?
Yep, I remember it very clearly.
Okay. And you remember how distinct the sound was of his call. I mean, it was crystal clear. This information was shared with him, and they investigated, and they were kind of following up on what I described as a vision of many, many craft coming to that area that I just described in New Guinea. In fact, if you look at the mountains there, anyone could do this. You could go to Google Earth, and especially to the east of, just type in the word Papua New Guinea, and then pan over to the east, and soon you will start to see some of the spookiest looking mountain ranges you've ever seen in your life. You get the feeling that something is hiding there, something is underground. There are things living in the mountains, in the caverns, and there are many anomalies right there on the surface of the earth that I'm sure from space act like beacons. And every attempt to see what was there was met upon by attacks. Attacks by grays squadrons of 8 to 30 craft, and sometimes accompanied by reptilian craft. So there is a hiding place there. Now, it was brought to my attention a couple of years ago, actually, that there were also many craft seen coming into the Middle East, where we have war, and have had for some time, and really for eons, historically. And there were some craft going into Switzerland, and I knew immediately where that was, and I said, St. Gallen, Switzerland, and that was confirmed. Hundreds of craft, in fact, in a very short period of time, on one particular day, there were over 580 craft counted within a couple of hours, coming into our atmosphere and going into an underground base. These were not American craft. These were from other realms. And eventually it was even alluded to by the general and those with whom he associates in the Federation, who have our best interests at heart, that there appeared, not just appeared, but I mean, they had overwhelming information that there was some sort of orchestrated attack. In other words, we've talked about reptilians on this planet and alien beings, and many, many people have known about this for a long time. It's always poo-pooed. It's a taboo topic because they don't want us to know the truth, but you can't deny the millions of people that are seeing these craft the opportunity to describe what they've seen. It's, the Phoenix Lights have been described as flares, intelligent flares that can maintain a similar altitude and move in concert with one another and last for hours. it just doesn't work that way. But they would tell us that anyway, just to lie and deceive us about the reality that this planet has been visited many, many times and is being visited and has been under a very secret control. Now, what's happening is there are other groups coming in besides the aforementioned groups. And literally 24/7, all over the planet, from an altitude of 100 to 200 miles above the Earth's surface, these battles are taking place. Not just at night, during the day, but it's very difficult to see it without the proper equipment. One can see this, though, and there have been many anomalies described about what's going on the moon as well. And it's difficult now for them to deny this because many amateur astronomers are getting photographs of numerous structures which are on the moon. So, your comment,
Wow. Well, okay. I guess my comment would be more in the guise of a question. What the heck is happening? I mean, who's fighting who and for what reason? I mean, if all this is accurate, you know, it makes it sound like there's an ongoing battle for control of the planet. And if that's the case, it would be nice to know who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, and what's it all about.
Yes. Well, that's a very good question. I might preface it by going back to what I mentioned prior to us going into this topic, and that's what are they talking about today? They're telling us the recession is over, that we're on the road to recovery now financially in this upside-down economy that has been upside-down for 100 years or more. And it's caught up with them that they can't hypothecate anything anymore, that secretly they have basically auctioned off all the real assets that we have. They've put major lands in government control, and what do? They put up signs that say, keep out. I mean, this belongs to the states, these lands. They don't belong to the federal government. The federal government's supposed to be the servants of the people. And, you know, if you're the president for 4 years or whatever amount of time, when you leave office, you're back to being part of the general public, and the government is serving you. But they do it the other way around. They want us to serve them, and that's really not how most planets operate. Believe it or not, I mean, the way God created the universe, it's the other way around, and they know this. And like many planets where this progression of consciousness has evolved to the point where their murdering ways have stopped, their warlike ways have stopped. And the suppression of people, slavery, has stopped. Now, is that on every planet? By no means. No, because these beings that are here are wreaking the same havoc in other parts of the universe. Even just take other parts of the galaxy or other parts of our solar system, this is going on. I've heard about attacks on the United Galactic Federation, where they have operations going on, let's say for food or for things that support their mission. We could say durable goods, for lack of a better word. And they are raided and attacked by reptilian forces, and sometimes people are killed, and they defend themselves, but they're not here creating war. They're attacked by those that do nothing but create war. So the other groups now that are coming into our realm are quite aware of this history of the reptilians' penchant for murder and control of planets, and they've been very, very secretive about it. Well, you wonder why there's secrecy in government. Despite what the people know, they have to be so secret that the only way they can keep us from agreeing that we have the truth is to lie about it. So when they lie about one thing, they have to lie about everything, because as soon as they start telling the truth, then all the truth will get revealed, okay? So that's basically the kind of thing that we do as journalists, as talk show hosts. You yourself as a scientist, you disprove a lot of the things that were accepted as mainstream science merely because you've defied those boundaries that they've set up. But we know they have much more advanced technology that our government here in the United States, then they will ever admit. We know that. And what threat is that for us to know that? Well, then we start to see the bigger picture. We start to see that there are others in the universe, and that these people aren't so brilliant to invent these things and make the kind of idiotic mistakes that they make on a regular basis, in fact. It belies the logic that they want us to believe, that they're so brilliant, and yet they can't do anything about the economy, or they're so brilliant that they can't see what creates peace and what creates chaos. You know, so we have all these dichotomies. They say one thing and they do the opposite. And as soon as we point that out, we're bad. Now they have to attack us, you see. They're just warlike creatures and warlike beings. And there are others that are, technically advanced, but maybe have even more sinister intentions at heart, because they've dealt with the reptilians before. Now, they haven't identified themselves as of yet, and when I know, I'll be happy to share that with you and the listeners, but they refuse to communicate and identify themselves. So you have a battle going on with those that would come in here now and take over. They, for some reason, they feel that they're in a position to do that. Is that because of a failing economy or a collapsing social structure or just the chaos that's here? You have to agree that from another planet or somewhere out in space, you don't even have to be on a planet. It's easy if you have the technology to determine that this is a chaotic time in the life in the Earth's history. I hope in a sense, to the best of my ability, that answers the question as to who it would be, because this goes on all over the universe. Even General Jeremiah said there were some parts of the universe that outside of the galaxy that are not to be messed with, because there's evil everywhere, and it's pretty serious stuff. So any comment you want to make, or you have another question, I don't know if I can answer it.
Well, I mean, the things you're talking about, of course, are not new to me in the sense that they're not new to history. Anybody who has delved into this whole UFO problem and the idea of extraterrestrial visitations, or call them what you will, has to admit that down through history, there have been many references to the appearance of strange crafts and unusual devices in the skies and the visits of non-human entities and all this kind of stuff. But those things, with the possible exception of very, very early times, those things seem to be mostly sporadic in nature. What you're describing now seems to be, I wouldn't want to use the word invasion, but it's bordering on the idea of that type of a concept. And if that's the case, what I find interesting is the fact that that there is somebody who's actually interceding. Because, let's face it, if there was a real invasion that was not impeded in any way, certainly with those types of technologies versus what the average Earthling has to defend himself with, I don't think there'd be much of a fight. Mm-hmm. The mere psychological shock and cultural shock of suddenly being confronted with individuals, beings, call them what you will, from another world is enough to rattle the bones of most individuals, because they're so well taught that there's nothing out there, that would be a real paradigm-shattering event for them and would leave them very disoriented.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes you wonder,
anyway,
Jim. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, it makes you wonder then, you know, not only what's going on, but who's taking our part. And if it's the Galactic Federation, as you call them, you know, the only mystery that I see in all of this is why they just don't show their hand in this thing on a more universal basis instead of just, you know, contacting certain individuals. I mean, if Earth really knew what was going on, there might be a certain amount of cultural shock to consider, but it wouldn't last that long. You know, I mean, it's not going to be the end of mankind just because they suddenly find out that there's life elsewhere. I mean, most people would recover from that in short order.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can probably answer that with the following statements. First of all, one would think, because of the exposure and the fascination with this topic in movies or TV shows, take the Star Trek series, you know, tell you the truth, I've watched one or two of those, and they don't really interest me because it's all fiction. Now, but then some of it is in-your-face stuff, okay? Some of the beings that they create seem to resemble reptilians, for example, or they resemble certain species that have been depicted in artwork or just drawn up for a promotional trailer or something like that. Maybe a storyboard on a movie set. But people are fascinated with that because on some level they know that there is life elsewhere. It's just that they've been told on a conscious level and influenced subconsciously through neuro-linguistic programming and drugs and other things that, no, we're the only ones. And, you know, somehow for us to find out that there were people from other planets, it would cause chaos. Well, we have chaos already. Remember, I already said that these warmongers are intentionally creating chaos to provide us with sufficient distraction so that they can carry on their secret deeds. Now, we have a group, MJ-12, back in the 40s, they say in the 40s, but I even think they existed probably before that, because there were visitations many, many times just in the United States alone that someone would have taken that topic up and decided to quash it in terms of public disclosure. Even with people crying out for disclosure, they lie to us, despite the reality that we know that they're on Mars. Before they were ever on the moon, they went to Mars. They found an easier way to get to Mars than they could the moon. And they didn't have to deal with the reality of the Van Allen belt at that time. Later on, they could deal with the Van Allen belt, and there's quite a bit going on the moon as well. But we have been to other planets also, which they're not telling us about. And you have to ask yourself, why the secrecy? Is it really going to disrupt society when they have, first of all, if the dumbed down are dumbed down, they're not paying attention to any of this. And those that are very fascinated with it, they're not going to freak out. Those are the ones that buy the tickets to the Star Trek movies. So what is the problem with the MJ-12 group? Well, they've grown a little bit bigger, and they call themselves a magic, and they control things on a international basis. The International Space Station is just one aspect of it. The European Space Station is another. The Russian Federation program is another. NASA is another, and this is all interwoven probably mostly because of all the research the Nazis did prior to and during World War II. And then the infiltration of all the scientists and the intelligence agents and, pulling them into the CIA and the NSA and NASA and all the disinfo agencies and into the military. This is all interwoven. I mean, what does the water have to do with space? Why should the Navy be in charge of all the space programs? It would be more logical, wouldn't it, for the Air Force to be in charge. But these are the types of mind games they have to play to be secret. Wouldn't it be interesting to find out all along that it was the Red Cross that was handling it, you know? But they're at a point now where they miscalculated, and we know they did this in the beginning. They chose to befriend the wrong side. They were promised all kinds of technology. We've had abductions of people for years and years and years, and people have talked about it. You don't even hear about that very much anymore because it's progressed so much that even the government abducts its own people. We've heard the stories about the underground bases. We've heard stories about certain things that were to occur out in space that have been interfered with. And everybody says, why doesn't this United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, why don't they do something to help the people? Why don't they just show up? Well, they're not here to interfere, but they have done some things to help. The Haitian earthquake, for example, they rescued many people. While the world governments were dragging their feet, preventing people from helping out, blocking all the humanitarian aid and blocking the people that went there to volunteer their own time at their own expense to help with the rescue. And it made news for a while, and it sort of just disappeared, didn't it? There were earthquakes in other places. China, for instance, they helped in China. And the protocol for doing that is quite a bit different than it was in Haiti. The Chinese actually asked for help. And so this goes on. Now, they have met with world leaders. They've met with the Bushes and the Obamas and the Putins and the Medvedevs and others. They have met with world leaders. And every time they show themselves, they become a target because they'd just as soon kill all of them and shoot them. We're not dealing with rational beings on this planet. They're not rational. They're psychopaths. They're nothing but organized criminals. Busy smuggling drugs, taking their cut of the money, and spending money on programs to control the population. It all keeps coming back to the same theme. Who's pulling the strings ultimately? Well, now there's a challenge to that. The reptilians, the Dracos, and their little buddies, the worker bees, the Greys, and a Nordic group. There's a few groups. It's not just the same group all the time that is malevolent here on this planet. But there are some other malevolent groups coming in trying to take or wrestle away the power that they have. They know this. You have to assume that this is going on elsewhere. They know who they are. But these new groups haven't identified themselves, let's say, to the white hats yet. They've made attempts to contact them. Now, this, to some people, is going to sound like science fiction. Don't poo-poo it if you've watched a Star Trek movie. Some of you actually think that all that's real, that those people in those movies are real space people, you know, astronauts and these star fleets are all real people. Jim, it's going on for sure. Those situations are real, not those characters that you see in the movies, but they're putting it right in our face. While the action is heating up, and I'm told that it's going to be pretty soon that everybody's going to see this for themselves.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. If it escalates to the point where it becomes obvious, there's going to be an awful lot of people with egg on their face. I mean, you know, every major authority on the planet has poo-hooed this concept. How are they all going to do 180 degrees now and come out and admit what's going on if in fact all this turns out to become an obvious situation?
Yeah. Well, it becomes quite evident that the whole thing is collapsing, doesn't it? I mean, it's collapsing.
So.
Yeah. As well as me. I do, too. It's collapsing, and of course, they will never admit that. This is why things have gotten so insane lately, you know. They want to hurry up and give everybody a vaccine. They want to hurry up and they want to poison the Gulf of Mexico and get rid of the food and just bring out genetically modified food and spray the skies with chemtrails over and over and over, just one thing on top of the other, lying. You know, the audacity to chastise the president of Iran for telling the truth about 9/11. That's what I said when I heard, the delegation got out of the UN. They walked out, the United States delegation, and so did the Europeans. Well, they're all in on it. They're all Rothschild minions. What do you expect? These are the people that have been controlling the planet and the economy and the food and everything else, the energy resources, for the past 300 years. What do you expect? Sure, they're gonna try to poo-poo that. But we already know that. The guy came here and told the truth. Is it any revelation that 9/11 was an inside job? these people just think, oh, well, here's another problem. Let's just lie about it. Just lie, flat out lie, and act like we're outraged, you know. And we got a guy telling us that how bad this guy is from Iran, and he's not an American. He's got no documentation to even prove that he was born on this planet. You know, the audacity. Yeah, what was the name of one of his books? The Audacity of Hope. You know, the audacity of this usurper ought to be his sequel. Comment, Jim.
You're leaving me in this position where there's very little to say.
I don't mean to. Well, are you agreeing with me or?
Well, a lot of it is shockingly interesting. Of course, I've always believed, and known for that matter on a certain level, that we have other races or other types of beings, you know, sprinkled around the universe. You'd have to be brain damaged to think that all that real estate out there is just for our pleasure. You know, that's an extraordinarily warped concept, and it just can't be true. But the thing that this starts to make it interesting isn't the probability that millions, of, perhaps hundreds of millions of planets share intelligent life. What starts to make it interesting is when you begin to hypothesize or perhaps prove that not only is there other life, but they're actually here squabbling over this place. That brings things to a different level of reality. And it certainly affects the way in which you view this stuff. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the concept of it being suddenly localized changes the comfort level, because even for those people who are willing to accept life on other worlds, I think the rationalization that goes along with that is, oh, yeah, well, that's hundreds and hundreds of light years away. And if they're there, great. And if they're not, it doesn't matter to me. But if they're all of a sudden in your backyard, it makes a big difference. And, if we're approaching that type of level of revelation, that's a pretty big step for this planet of ours. There's just no way that it's not going to affect everything. It doesn't even matter if they're good guys or bad guys. If it comes out, the mere fact that there are other beings and that they have been here and are coming here on a regular basis is really all it takes to unravel everything. That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you have pointed out, the entire structure is nothing more than a fortress of lies that's been used to basically keep out any form of truth. And the way they've got it structured is unfortunate for them, because all you have to do is start to crumble one part of that structure, then it's all going to go down. Because mm-hmm. then everybody's going to realize it's nothing but lies, So this is a very interesting thing that you're describing. We got an intergalactic war going on right on our porch, you might say. I don't know how long that's going to go and how far it'll escalate, but if people are actually starting to get photographs of this stuff and whole movies of it and everything else, that kind of advertising by word of mouth is been proven in the business world to be the most successful form of advertisement. So, once it starts to get to that magical critical mass, as they call it, everybody's going to be focusing on this with a different type of intensity. And then all we got to do is start to see some true celestial activity, and I think there's going to be a lot of commotion on this planet.
Oh, yeah. You can, if you look at the world's problems, disregard that there's anyone outside for a moment, okay, from outside this realm. You look at the world's problems, and aren't they always telling us how they're going to fix everything? Yet, as they fix it, it gets worse. And, of course, they always have us to blame for it. The reason there's so much pollution is because we're using so much oil or gasoline, or we're using plastics, or we're using things that are not environment friendly. Yet, who is it that makes these things? Who is it that sells these things? Who is it that profits from selling these things? Who is it that taxes us for using these things? For thinking about buying them, we're taxed, And yet, they'll blame it on the people. It's the people who have to pay for this, and it's the people who are at fault here. All the while denying that they take the oil out of the ground, or they take the coal out of the ground, or whatever it is they're taking out of the ground, and denying that they're putting all the pollutants and poisons, toxins, into the drinking water. And you wonder why the water is dying, or why this planet is dying. But they'll blame it on us. They build the jets. They sell the tickets. They make up the flight plans. We fly on the planes, and we have to pay the whole price. We have to take the blame for everything. Isn't that approach getting a little stale? It is for me. I don't know about you.
It's very stale. There's no question about that, but I understand the methodology also. If you just keep hearing the same thing and you repeat the same thing, after a while, the mind just gives in. Okay, I guess that's the way it is. It kind of reminds you of a movie that that was out a number of years ago. I don't remember the name of it, but it was pretty hilarious. It was about people, various ways that they were cheating on their spouses. And the one that I thought was most memorable was when the woman actually walked into the bedroom, found her husband in bed with this other woman. She started ranting and raving. They got out of bed. They made the bed. They got dressed. He kisses the girl goodbye, lets her go out the door. He lights his pipe, sits down in the easy chair in the living room, opens a book, and then from that point on, everything she said about the incident, he just said, "What are you talking about? What woman?" You know, and it was so blatantly obvious that it was ridiculous. But on the other hand, his insistence and constant repetition that nothing was going on, even though she had witnessed it, she eventually gave in. And that's exactly the kind of thing that's being done to us. The same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The dumbing down, isn't it? It just repeat it over and over and over, and they'll accept it as the truth. You know, and I was encouraged. You know, I asked if this was information, you know, that they wanted people to know about, and they said, of course. I mean, we've done this on other shows as well over the years. We've revealed information that wasn't made available to a lot of people. Now, there are people who sense these things, Jim, who don't have a voice or for whatever reason, they're not able to communicate the message to a large group of people. But I always hear from these people, and I know others who hear the same things from people that have had similar experiences or have witnessed something that has convinced them that this is really going on. We hear the stories about the underground bases and certain types of technology being used against the people on the planet now. You know, it used to be that we focused on just the United States and on Americans, but because of the internet, despite what they want to, how they want to laud Al Gore's statements about global warming, when the internet is demeaned as being basically a dumping ground for lies and wackos, why don't they blame Al Gore for that? You know, he created it, right? So, but we seem to forget certain parts of the story. Conveniently, they'll leave them out and steer us in another direction because, like you said, they can manipulate many people's thinking processes just by showing them images and telling a story along with those images. They do it on the news every day. They do it in soap operas on TV. They do it in commercials. Everything, and then they do it in movies and special TV shows. Everything is programming. And so we don't get the reality of what's going on. We don't see the truth. There are those that are adamant about refusing to accept what they're showing in the mainstream media and through the mainstream electronic population control devices like TV and radio and what have you. Those people are finding the truth, and they don't find it difficult to accept the fact that there is life elsewhere. And far, far more intelligent. You know, just the weapon systems that they have in the Federation I'm referring to. In this, I'm not naming some other Federation that other people have used the name of. For instance, I was checking a couple of websites that routinely report what the Pleiadians are saying, for example, and how they're coming here and. Nobody's talking about these battles that are going on. So it sort of points or it shines a light on the topic, and you can say, well, is it an intelligence agency that's sponsoring this website, that's putting out all this feel-good stuff. I can say what they do to help, and I certainly see what's going on that's actually resulting in the demise of some of these beings, because the technology that the Federation have is at least 1,000 years ahead of all these other species.
Well, on that interesting comment, I would like to say that if you look at this from a slightly different perspective, Don, it could afford many of we humans with a very interesting opportunity. In the past, shows at least in the last 6 or 8 months, you and I have discussed every available way of talking about increasing consciousness and taking an active role in changing your perspectives and all these things that are necessary for the promotion of rapid spiritual evolvement. Now, I think it would be a very mind-expanding thing if the human race was informed on a grand scale that all this is going on and that extraterrestrials are a real issue. The interesting thing is these battles that you're describing seem to me to be portals to that type of information. What's wrong with every able-bodied individual who has an interest in this stuff and who's not afraid to stand on his own 2 feet to go out and buy some filters and buy some cameras and start actually looking for this type of activity in the night skies? We have access to the Internet. Almost any idiot can certainly scan a picture and get it on the Internet. I think the thing to do would be to have every Tom, Dick, and Harry, that has an interest in this stuff to start participating until the planet reaches a critical mass of consciousness. And then there's going to be an avalanche that will just change everything. But it isn't going to happen unless people work at it. Now, the fact that there's this commotion going on in the atmosphere above the planet gives us an opportunity to do just that. Where else are we going to get the kind of focal force that guides our attention to a specific event that could be completely consciousness-orienting and rearranging for this whole planet? I think the time has come, if these things are really going on, that it's about time to make it a universal reality, and that automatically puts the stake through the heart of the vampire right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This whole scenario, too, impedes the releasing or the sharing of all the information there is on more advanced technologies. Governments of the world, certain governments of the world, have access. They have these technologies. Some which were derivatives of what Tesla invented, as you well know, and some came from other planets, other galaxies. And over a period of time, this has happened. They tend to go to the leadership, okay? And when that fails, that's when they begin looking at people on the planet. They've come to accept the fact that leadership on Earth is, by and large, not to be trusted. Deceitful, murderous, two-faced, liars. And they choose not to deal with them. They honor how the planet has operated, and they do what they can to communicate and get along, stressing the fact that they're not here to cause harm. They're here to enlighten the people to many things and to help in whatever way can be, they can help. Why is that rejected? Why are those such offers rejected? Well, number one, it shows that those that would have us believe they are God are not all that powerful at all. In fact, allowing this reality and a progression from that reality to even occur on an official basis means that they are handing over their power to the people, the power that they've stolen, you see. They've infiltrated governments. The Federation knows this, that there's a certain percentage of reptilians in governments all over the world. They've infiltrated the media. We've talked about this on many shows, the shape-shifting and all of that. That's caught on camera. And certain types of media actually reveal this much easier than others. They've stepped up their attempts to obfuscate that phenomenon, but it can be seen. It's very simple, in fact. So in light of what's going on, it all flies in the face of what they've been telling us. It will be a massive realization. The chaos is going to be unleashed upon them when people find out how they've been lied to. In many ways, I'm just pointing out, what I see are their reasons. This is a group that runs the planet by fear. And those that would choose fear as a means of ruling a planet have to be operating from fear themselves. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Fear always begets fear. There's no question about that.
So.
That's an age-old phenomenon,
Don. Yeah. So this is a reality, much to the chagrin of those that would keep it a secret. It's visible. Now, I've been told that some people have been posting these films on certain websites, and I'm waiting for a few people to send me some links. This is real stuff. This isn't special effects and that. We get plenty of that from NASA anyway. You know, when you think about some of the films like the STS-48 and STS-80, little publicized STS-101, where there's a triangular craft doing somersaults as it was moving in the direction of the space shuttle, and they're over the wall of China, and all of a sudden they just pan the camera up against the craft. it's ridiculous. Just to avoid that picture of this triangular craft in the vicinity of the shuttle. Well, we know who has triangular crafts, and they didn't know they were being picked up on camera. So those types of gaffes have plagued NASA's footage, and they always do a voiceover where it doesn't matter if it's the space station or it's a rocket launching or whatever. All these phenomenon are approached by ice crystals. Ice crystals have this affinity, sort of like tornadoes for mobile homes, if you know what I mean. 7-mile-long tether attached to a space vehicle, and there are hundreds of UFOs flying around it, and they call them ice crystals. Ice crystals out in space, by the way, are very intelligent. They can change direction and turn on a dime, almost as if they were intelligent.
I get the picture. Well, don't forget, too, that there were earlier reports. And I did see one film, which was pretty striking. As a matter of fact, I think we talked about it, where there were actually weapons exchanges going on between the surface of the Earth and various vessels that were in orbit. And then to compound the complexity of that situation, you had the space shuttle or other vehicles that were involved in this and taking films of the whole thing. And what I saw was pretty amazing because there were missiles flying around and there were beams coming from the surface of the planet taking out various, I don't know if they were missiles or ships or what they were, but I mean, it was a congested exchange, and that has to be at least, I'm not sure anymore, but I would say at least 3-4 years old, the film that I'm referring to. And if and that was a pretty big exchange for its day, all things considered. Now you're talking about a situation which borders on, you know, a global military exchange between various groups in the heavens. That's taking things to the next level of complexity without any doubt whatsoever.
Yes, and I was also advised that most likely the militaries of the world don't even know this is going on, by and large. There may be a few key people who are aware, simply because there are a few military people who are on in the Majestic group. But that's functioning as an international group that has developed a large number of craft that have anti-gravity capability and most likely anti-matter capability, and are in an effort to keep this information from getting out or not telling anybody what's going on. You know, the planet is already under the threat and has been for many thousands of years. So it's not a new phenomenon. It's what is significant is that there are other groups that have entered into the fray. And some are not identifying themselves. So these battles are being sustained by, let's say, the what's the term? Well, they have new troops coming in. Okay, they're replenishing their forces with the arrival of thousands more ships. And you have to presume if this is going on in many other places in this galaxy, Jim, that's a small number of ships. Maybe large to us, but it's a small number. This is all they do.
Well, of course, if that's all that they do, and it's escalating, then I think it's only a matter of time. As I said earlier, that something dramatic is going to occur one way or another. Mm-hmm. How long can they keep it up? You say thousands of ships?
Well, yeah, there was a time, this was about 2 years ago, and I'm recalling the month of July, say July of 2008. There was a period of a few hours where there had been something like 580 ships that were arriving from space that went into a secret base near St. Gallen, Switzerland. And I know that area very well. And in fact, I intuited that was the area and was told, yes, that's where it was. And this was in the context of what we talked about in the first part of the show, where I mentioned my find in Indonesia. But we've got similar things going on in the mountains of Colorado as well, and other parts of the country, other parts of the world, for that matter. We are not the only ones in the universe. And they say they're looking for intelligent life. Well, it takes a certain amount of intelligence to recognize it when you see it. And I would say, many times I said this before, if you're really looking for intelligent life anywhere, start here. When you find it, let us know.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
There's a lot of people, well, I'm intelligent. I know, but, you know, they would tell the masses that you're not, just because you're pointing out the truth. It's amazing that anyone would invest so much of their time in trying to prevent people from seeing the truth. And the truth wins out in the end anyway. Really, when you think about it, it's insane. You know,
the whole thing is insane. I was just having a discussion the other day on this very topic. Hear people talking about abnormalities, neuroses, and all these other schizoid personalities. The real issue is there's so much nonsense to contend with in everyday life. What the heck is normal anymore? Who can really wave a flag and claim themselves to be unaffected by all that's going on this planet? Who can really stand up and say, I'm normal, I'm cool? I mean, there isn't even a definition of normality anymore.
Yes.
That's how bad things have gotten.
Yeah, and I hear, is I don't go out of my way to track down what the President of the United States is doing. While doing some driving recently, I had mainstream radio on, and it seemed like every news item had to mention the usurper's name. Everything anyone was talking about, they have to do anything they can to try to give this guy some kind of credibility, because he doesn't have an ID card. But I always question, when they're talking about him, which social security number are they talking about? You know, the one of the dead Connecticut man or some woman? You know, it's so ridiculous. And then they're telling us what the polls are, what the popularity is of certain political candidates. And again, this is all based on lies. They tell you, well, they took a poll, and yeah, but everyone is saying that, yeah, he's doing really well. 54% of Americans think this guy is doing a great job. Where did they dream
number? I don't know where the heck they are. Everybody I talk to has a pretty negative impression of the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I did before he even got in there. You remember?
I did.
On the very basis of what is still the big argument and the travesty of what's happening to this country. You know, not that I want to get into talking about politics. Now the Republicans are trying to take credit for the Tea Parties. Tea Parties have nothing to do with the Democrats and the Republicans, except their mutual desire to get rid of both parties and get rid of those that are in them. And that's how they are. They're opportunists, all of them. They'll try to make money. They'll try to smooth over all the rough edges of their dirty deeds by pretending to be listening to the people or to be caring about the people. You remember I played a clip of something from Michael Savage's show a couple of months ago, where a woman called in and said that we should allow illegal aliens because those people are going to pay for everything. And this woman ended up being on welfare. She didn't even know what it was she was on. And she was asked where Obama gets the money, and she said, well, from his stash. Oh, it was hilarious. I don't have that clip with me tonight.
I remember it vaguely, you know, But it's just another example of how uninformed people are and the garbage that they've been made to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've not yet spoken to anybody who has a real grasp on how the money situation really works in this country. You know, I remember not too long ago, I think I mentioned this on a previous show, I had a friend, God love him, he died here about 4 years ago, but one of his favorite forms of entertainment was to go into a store, buy some groceries, and then when he brought those groceries to the checkout place, he would say to the gal at the cash register, he said, listen, he said, before I pay for this, I really want to make sure, do you accept Federal Reserve notes? And nine times out of ten, they'd say, oh, no, only dollar bills. And, you know, it's only written right across the face of the currency itself, you know, but nobody even looks at it. Never mind understand it.
Or you could ask them, do you accept fiat currency or do you accept debt instruments? You know, you get the same response. You know? Yeah, even the people collecting the money don't know what it represents. They don't know the story behind it. They don't, all they know is that they want it. They want to get their hands on it as much as they can. And it's, you know, you can probably do that just by grabbing the air with an empty hand. It's the equivalent.
Yeah, the only thing is, when you attempt to do it, it's called counterfeiting, and then when they do it, it's legal currency.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another one of the, another little standard that's slightly skewed.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I would be interested in seeing what some of your colleagues might say about this information. I assure you, this is serious. Okay, this is not a prank. And it was suggested that people attempt to check this out for themselves. On last night's show, Drew Raines mentioned a number of UV filters that can be put on a standard camera and will actually capture those images just as well. In fact, I had asked that question in the beginning and was told yes, it's the same principle. So night vision goggles can be expensive unless you're able to borrow them or rent them from somebody. Binoculars are less. Still, someone should be able to adapt that technology to taking pictures and or video, for that matter. When these craft get struck by some of the weapons that are used, they basically evaporate. So we're talking about some pretty advanced technology that's used by the Federation in defense of themselves. They generally are. Go ahead.
Those evaporations, as you call them, they must be accompanied by the emission of some kind of light or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a destructive act, of course. You wouldn't want to just disable the craft with the chance that, you know, they could fire back. You know, so they're taken out completely.
The reason I mention that is because, you know, that seems to me to be one of the sources, at least, for things to photograph or things to view with these filters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can see this going on. What I'm saying is you're not going to see shrapnel and pieces of these craft falling to the earth in these circumstances. They are totally obliterated. But yes, you will see flashes of light and even see the crafts themselves moving around, because they do emit a glow. They all do. It's part of the way they operate. They can be seen. Now, to us here, people are asking, well, why can't we see these craft? They all can cloak their craft in an energy field. They're all capable of doing that. The reptilians do it. The Federation does it. The Greys do it. And they have different ways that they do it. But the main reason they cloak themselves is to not be seen. And that's not always the case. You know, at the inauguration in 2009, January 20th, 2009, there were four craft flying over the event. And one of the crafts became visible for a few seconds. You should have seen the stuff, and this was on YouTube also. You should have seen some of the comments posted by people that it was a bug on the camera lens or it was a bird. Now, how many times have you seen a bird that looks like a flying saucer?
I think those disc-shaped birds are spoofs, aren't they?
Yeah. But they'll, of course, they probably weren't even real people that were posting those comments there. They just had to try to debunk the whole story. And the explanation that was given to me as to why that craft became visible had to do with the acceleration process, and somebody just did one thing out of sequence as the craft began to accelerate, and concealment was not working too well at that moment until they realized the mistake. So somebody got to see one of the craft, but there were actually four there, and they weren't there for malevolent purposes. But they were observing the whole procession. And there are accounts in Mexico. Millions of people have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of craft over time flying over the city. Now, granted, some of those craft could have been ours. And they'll say, oh, we don't have those. We know it. We've seen them. It's not a big secret anymore. And they'll be using the new Utah base. They're building another Area 51 type facility in Utah for more exotic types of craft. So again, they have to do all this in secret. And the big question is why. Don't say national security, because I've never seen a country so insecure as this one right now.
About I agree with that 100%. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
National security has become a joke.
Yeah, it never was about national security, Jim. If you look at it, really, it was just an excuse for saying, well, we're not going to say anything. You know, it was whomever invented that term appreciated J. Allen Hynek's swamp gas theory, you know, his explanation for anything that actually showed up in a real photograph or video. Well, it must have been swamp gas. But the only time swamp gas is around is when there's a documented UFO sighting and a politician nearby. That's about it. Those are the two scenarios that bring about swamp gas. Well, we're about out of time, and I did a heck of a lot of talking tonight. Your final thoughts, Jim, if you would, about all this. And, you know, we're going to try to gather more information over the next week, both of us, so that we can determine more what's going on here. But if you would share any thoughts that you have with the listeners.
Well, I'm convinced that if all of this is really going on, as you say, that it's only a matter of time before it becomes impossible to hide it any longer. And the only thing I can say with respect to that whole thing is that the cloak of darkness that's been installed over the earth has been there too long, and it's about time that it's shredded and the light of truth is allowed to come through. So if it happens tomorrow or next week or anytime soon, it'll never be soon enough to suit me. I think that the only hope that this planet has for some type of normality is to get to the bottom of all this stuff and bring the truth out in the open. All of the truth. I mean, about everything. Not just the presence of extraterrestrials. But it's all interrelated anyway. So, like you said earlier, I hope the fabric is beginning to unravel.
Yes, you can see the signs in what they so regularly fail to share with the common public. I mean, mainstream news is a joke. It actually takes four people to deliver the news in a split screen, you know, or to talk about it. I mean, they're trying cases on TV, Jim. And do you see any attorneys objecting to their clients' inability to get a fair trial? That concept is a myth. That whole idea of a fair trial about any topic is a myth, because they profit from the lies. And as soon as the truth begins to threaten the profit, then they have to go out and attack the message, then the messenger, and they get desperate at that point. If the people have the resolve to establish what the truth is and make it known to others, eventually it has to take root, doesn't it?
I sure hope so.
You know, it's disgusting to think about all the people that you think you would say should be more intelligent than to try to keep this game going so long. But I guess everybody has a price, especially in the scientific community. They'll keep secrets from people, but they'll take their money for developing those secrets. They'll accept the money as their salary, their reward for the work that they do, but they somehow the people that pay for that are not privileged to know how the money has been spent. It's always about the money and the control, isn't it?
Yep. But as a matter of fact, that's one rule of thumb that's always right. If you want to know the truth, follow the money.
Yes. Well, Jim, it's been a pleasure having you on again. You'll be on next week as well. Actually, we'll be moving into a new month, if I'm not mistaken, for next week is still next week. Yes, you'll be on the 1st of October, so I look forward to that. I'm going to do my best to find out a little bit more. And I encourage anybody, if you get some night vision goggles and you're able to work out a way to photograph with that, or camera with the UV filter, certainly let us know about anything that you spot. And I'm told this is going on 24/7, Jim. I've talked to many people who have felt this, and it's been confirmed. So we have a right to know, despite what they may think. So I thank you for being on the show and look forward to your visit next week.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm sure I'll be back.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, scientist inventor Jim Murray. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show either live or in an archive over at BBS Radio. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday when my special guest will be Dr. A. True Ott. In the meantime, I wish everyone a great weekend and a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.